Welcome to Unity of Fairfax, a positive path for spiritual living and spiritual center for education, practice, and service in Northern Virginia. We hope you find inspiration in this week's message.
I am as God created me. So it is important for us to take ownership and appreciate what God has created. Each and every one of us is an individualized expression of pure potential. Each and every one of us has gifts and talents to offer the world that only we can do. And so we make this declaration with humility, not hubris, so that we might fully engage life to the fullest for as long as we have, with all of our energy, so that when we draw our final breath, we can look back and say, yeah, that was awesome. I wonder if I'm going to do that again. Well, here it is, everybody, the first Sunday of the new year. It is January 3rd, 2021, and I had this wonderful realization when I woke up on Friday morning, the 1st of January, that yes, hindsight, literally and figuratively, is now 2020. But then another more horrifying thought occurred to me. Oh my God, 2020 has turned 21 and can legally start drinking. Like, stop, Russell. Don't even go there. But we are here, so that's the question I want us to lean into today. What are we doing here? What are we doing as a part of a faith community? What are other faith communities doing? What is it that draws us together? What do we hope to give? What do we hope to get? And that has led me into, that's been a question that I've had in my mind, basically, well, my entire working career, because that's what I do, I'm a minister. What are we doing here? Why is this meaningful? Why is this important? But even more importantly, as the pandemic has occurred, then I've really had to lean into the question, not only what are we doing here, but how are we doing what we're doing here? And where are we going to end up when the pandemic is over? Now, I've chosen the pathway of optimism. I've chosen to believe that whatever is before us is for us. And that is one of my mantras that I'm holding on to. Because I know by asking that question, I'm not resisting the facts that are before us. Rather, I'm willing to leverage the facts to see how is Spirit moving us forward in the fulfillment of our vision and mission. So how can what is before us be for us? And that has allowed me to stay optimistic when the facts of the day have been kind of not so optimistic. So what are we doing here? So let's go back to why people participate in faith communities in the first place. There are a lot of different reasons, all kinds of different reasons. Well, we come together to worship God as we understand God to be, or even God as we don't understand God to be, that great mystery. We come together to continue to define our identity as a people in some community. We come together because our theology says if we don't, there are going to be some really nasty consequences if to not coming together. We come together to engage in service. We come together to make the world a better place. We come together in some communities to empower ourselves to go and convert other communities to be like us. Well, the sky's the limit. So I mention these things not to make anybody wrong or bad, but just to highlight that there are a variety of different reasons why people assemble and different benefits that can accrue to them. So why are we here in New Thought in particular? Well, there are a variety of different reasons why we gather together in a New Thought community. We, at Unity of Fairfax, are a vibrant spiritual community awakening each life to the Christ within. That's our mission statement that basically says we want people to know to the core of their being how limitless they actually are, how incredible they actually are. We want people to come alive, to use that wonderful Howard Thurman phrase, to come alive. That's what the world needs, and that's what we want to do. We want to make sure everybody comes alive and is joy-filled and empowered to do so. We're creating a world that works for everyone. In our frame of reference, in our theology, there is enough good to go around for everybody, and we want to make sure that it is available for everybody, even the people who don't like us or think the way we do or teach the same things we do. We are advancing the movement of spiritual transformation and awakening. Now, that's from the mission statement of Unity Worldwide Ministries. Like, I can see people being spiritually transformed and awakened. Yeah, let's bring it on. We are transforming consciousness. And this piece signifies and recognizes that our theology has a very strong psychological component, because we know that psychology and theology can work together to really awaken the Christ within and empower people, because our thoughts are things and they're real and they're powerful. And when we endue them with the power of spirit, then we can be truly free from any fetters that might keep us from being who we've come here to be. So in all of this doing, there is a boomerang effect. I was listening to Miss Wolf and my little doggie. She told me what they were studying in Sunday school. So there is a boomerang effect. If we put all this energy out there, then that energy must necessarily come back to us. We sometimes call this the law of circulation or the law of flow. What goes around comes around is probably how you know it best. So if you put yucks out there, like being mean and grumpy and that sort of stuff, and divisive and mean-spirited, yeah, don't be surprised if that comes back. And that's not what we do. Our intention, our goal, is to put out the positives. And what accrues back to us? Well, wow, look at all these wonderful words. There's satisfaction from being engaged in making a transformative act in the world. There's music, there's wisdom, there's food, there's justice, there's friends. There's probably a budget and a spreadsheet in there somewhere. Lots of IT, lots of software, lots of hardware. Togetherness, family, expanded consciousness, depth of faith. There is a lot that is a benefit to us by being engaged in a community. And probably, hopefully, we all sense a greater experience of self-esteem and self-worth and self-love. And this is the vision and the goal that we hold for everyone. So what was my epiphany? What happened? What came to my mind? Simple, everyday, ordinary thing is that when we come together, we are powerful. When we come together in a spirit of cooperation, as the animals showed us, nothing is impossible to us. I've watched that over the last few years, as you have as well, the appearance of greater divisiveness in our country and in the world. I've watched as our shadow side of our culture has been made so obvious you can't not see it, in the ways in which there are systemic elements that prevent us from, all of us, from achieving our best and highest good. I've watched a pandemic impact the whole wide world to let us know and remind us how intimately connected we are and how immediately connected we are. I've seen a lot of fear come to the surface, fear of the other, fear of the disease, fear of so many things. And I've been reminded of why we exist as a New Thought community. So that we might understand our thinking, might understand our feeling, and transmute and transform that energy of thinking and feeling into action that creates a world that works for everyone, that allows us to be willing to empathize with those whose perspectives are different from ours, to break through the barriers that seem to exist between groups of people, and to break through those barriers within ourselves that prevent or preclude us from loving ourselves fully and completely. My epiphany, my awareness is We cannot play small any longer. We cannot just affirm and walk away from a situation. We must be fully engaged in that powerful work of transformation that begins inside. My epiphany awakened again at this Christmas season is that symbolic birth of Christ consciousness is a reminder to us of who we truly are and what we can do. In other words, that each one of us is a leader in the creation of what we call the beloved community. I was recently recommended a book. It was Amy Conley, the director of music and arts, suggested that I read a wonderful book by a man named Jim Lockhart called Creating the Beloved Community. And it is a book on spiritual leadership. And so as a part of my epiphany, what I've come to realize is each one of us, if you are watching today, or whenever you're watching, thanks to live stream, you can watch whenever you want to watch, each one of us is in fact a leader in creating the beloved community. And it is important for each one of us to accept the challenge of leadership, to ensure that in any situation something positive is said, to ensure that we are working for the greater good of everybody, not just me, not just my group, not just my nation, everybody, because we are all in this together. So what is this beloved community? It's a term you may have heard a lot. I've used it quite a lot. It was made most famous by Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who held it as a realistic and positive possibility for humanity, that we might live in a world where compassion rather than greed and competition was the rule of the day. Many writers have identified the beloved community in a variety of different ways, but at its core, you will always see some manner of compassion. So we have to be compassionate with ourselves first and foremost, and I know that is a tremendous work. Many of us have heard for years by others and then started telling ourselves there was something wrong with us. We didn't measure up. We're not good enough. We're not smart enough. We're not tall enough. We're not rich enough. We're not skinny enough. We're blah, 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 blah. You know how that goes. See, at New Year's, we let all that go. At New Year's, we consciously decided, I'm done with that. We gave it to the cats who put it where we'll never see it again and covered it up. As leaders, we must recognize what is ours to release. So that is our first step in leadership, is to know what does not serve us any longer, so that we might create the beloved community, so that we might love ourselves enough to recognize and accept our empowerment and act on our empowerment. Acting in an empowered way, in a loving way, does not mean going out and inflicting your point of view on everyone else. Sometimes acting from an empowered point of view means that you will engage in some manner of conflict. And Dr. King, in all of his writing, was very clear that the beloved community includes conflict. But conflict with the intention to have resolution, reconciliation, and healing, not to destroy the enemy. See, that's a very different point of view. That is a loving way to engage in a conflicted situation. Another word that we use to describe it is empathy. You see, that empathy doesn't only mean feeling what somebody feels, it may or may not. Empathy can also mean understanding where somebody else is coming from. What is their need? What is their value? What is their fear? What is their motivation for the actions that they are taking? You see, when you've recognized your own fears and needs and values and made them conscious, then you can engage in that sort of conversation with somebody else as a leader for the greater good of all, to find solutions that allow people to allay their fears, meet their needs, honor their values. It doesn't mean you have to like everybody, but it does mean you have to love them enough and love yourself enough and love the world enough to engage in that sort of leadership and release the consciousness of a zero-sum game. You know, a zero-sum game that says, if you win something, I lose? It's like, no, that is an illusion grounded in fear. People of faith, people who are committed to a world that works for everyone, will understand that we must engage in dialogue and have hard conversations and crucial conversations and conversations that'll make us go deep into ourselves and explore those recesses of mind and consciousness that we find frightening. It was the Swiss psychiatrist Carl Jung who said, the greatest sin in the world is unconsciousness. Now, we don't talk a lot about sin around here other than to use it as an acronym for self-induced nonsense. And it is self-induced nonsense for us to choose not to explore what is in our consciousness. This is that psychological point of view. And in fact, the man who coined the term beloved community was a philosopher, psychologist, theologian named Josiah Royce, working in the early part of the 20th century. And Josiah Royce, incidentally, was the first president of the American Psychological Association. So in order to explore, to have this experience of the beloved community, in order to really live an empowered and compassionate world, we have to be willing to know what is inside ourselves and engage with that. And engage with others. That's the beginning of spiritual leadership. We are at a precipice in our nation here in the United States, and we are at a precipice around the world where we need leaders who are grounded in the understanding of compassion. Who are grounded in the understanding that us and them is simply a lie that we can overcome. And that means knowing who we truly are. That means knowing who we truly are not. That's a lifetime work, I gotta tell you. Spiritual leadership means that we will always be engaged in that process of self-awareness and self-understanding and being willing to love ourselves in the midst of that process, just as we love others in the midst of their process of unleashing and letting go error thought, error belief, mistakes. See, that's the other part of leadership I wanted to address today. Every single leader, every single person makes mistakes. Sometimes we made them deliberately, let's be clear. Sometimes they were inadvertent. It is so important that we recognize them and ask ourselves, well, what did we learn? And how are we going to move forward? Lots of folks make lots of mistakes. But we don't have to let them define who we are. And if you realize, oh, I did X, Y, and Z, a sin of omission, sin, self-induced nonsense, or a sin of commission, something I specifically did, and you just realize it now, make another New Year's Eve release list and shred it and get rid of it. But be sure to note what I've learned. So for the next several weeks, I'll be sharing some points of spiritual leadership. Because we are all spiritual leaders, whether we know it or not. Each and every one of us makes an impact on the people around us, the pets around us, because they are listening and they go to Sunday school at Unity of Fairfax, the community around us, and in the energetic vibration in which we live. So I encourage you to be willing to look into your heart and be willing to step into the leadership to which you have been called. And I invite you to join me into a prayer for that experience now. You may wish to close your eyes and take a deep breath in. And today I'm wearing a yellow shirt. Yellow is the color of the third chakra, the chakra of empowerment in the world. And you may wish to place your hands on your belly, right at that spot, that seat of empowerment, and affirm to yourself, I am an empowered leader. I am an empowered leader making a constructive and positive impact in the world. As a leader, I forgive myself for the mistakes I have made. I let them go and claim the lessons. And as a leader, I choose to be conscious of those elements of myself I may have denied or hidden from. But as I am also a conduit of Christ consciousness, I do not need to be afraid. For greater is He that is within me than in the world, as the scriptures say. Greater is that power in me to be a force for good, for healing, for transformation, and peace. And as I claim this power for myself, I affirm it for all others, for together we can truly create 2020 wonderful. This is our commitment. This is my commitment. I'm willing to lead in my own way for good. And so it is, and so we let it be. Amen and amen. Peace be with you.
Thank you for tuning into Unity of Fairfax podcast. You're welcome to join us live in Oakton, Virginia, every Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m., or view our live stream services from our website at unityoffairfax.org. We appreciate your donations to support this podcast to make our message of positive, practical spirituality more accessible to all. See you next time.